sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. This is the second hour here on this Tiger Tuesday, is what I'm calling it. October 7th, 2025 edition. Your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Greatly appreciate you guys being part of the show today. I'm going to check in with Ian. You ready? On Teams. Tried calling him during the break, didn't get a connection. We're going to try to do it again right here as we're trying to get him into the show, talking about all the things happening at the Iron Pig Smokehouses in Gaylord. As you know, they have two locations now. Downtown, that location has been there forever, as well as the new south location, Iron Pig Smoke South. It's located at 4029 U.S. Old U.S. 27. Basically, what you do is you head south of town on I-75. Instead of getting off at the downtown location's exit 282, you go down 3 miles south on I-75 to exit 279. When you come off the ramp there, you're at the old U.S. 27. Head south exactly 1 mile, and you'll be right in front of it. It's on the east side of Old 27. So want to make sure that you guys know there is two different locations. Now, the south location has an outdoor pavilion, has a concert stage, has everything available for you if you want to do an outside venue. The difference about this particular venue, it has a covered roof. So if you got any snow, you got rain, whatever, they can completely enclose it and keep you from the elements. They have side panels that mount onto the pavilion, and they can block rain, wind, whatever. So we're excited to talk about it. He's got an event coming up this Saturday as well. Their first Harvest Days, I believe, is what he's calling it. So hopefully we can get him connected into the show here shortly and get him to tell us all about it. So for some reason, I don't see him being active. Let's change that to Teams. Okay, very good. He's in a meeting. He's finishing up. He will be joining us after the break. Very good. Greatly appreciate it. One thing that is very interesting, Ian and his partner have gone down to Kentucky and they tasted bourbons there in what they call Bourbon Row. I believe Bardstown, Kentucky, went down, sampled different bourbons and settled on 100 proof, 50% alcohol, Kentucky bourbon, decided to brand it, bottle it under the Iron Pig brand, and they are going to have an opportunity for you to be able to purchase the very first bottles of the two different batches. So I'm going to get Ian hopefully connected here during the break, and we'll be able to get him to explain the two batches of bourbon as well as their bourbon club. IronPigSmokeBourbon.com, I believe, is the website. You can sign up to be a Bourbon Club member and have access to these small batches that are going to be out at a party on, I believe, October 22nd. So we'll get into all that with Ian. Hopefully technology works right after the break. Message from our other sponsors. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. Slim Fast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy, a MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com, follow my journey with Missy, and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation. Or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
A book by Rick Randall, Road Trip, the Good Words book for success. Good words that both young and old alike need to add to their vocabulary to impact their thoughts, emotions, behavior, and ultimately their reality in life. Road Trip's Good Words, Positive Thinking, and Daily Pep Talk will improve your attitude, impress everyone you come in contact with, and lead to a better, happier, more fulfilling life. Get your copy at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Pass the positive. Road Trip, the Good Words book by Rick Randall.
At Royal Tire in Petoskey, we know that you've got things to do and places to go. And you need safe and reliable tires that will get you there and back every time. Tires like the Michelin Defender LTX or the Michelin Cross Climate 2. We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
From Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment of hour number two. Technology is not cooperating this morning. Having some difficulties getting Ian Murphy connected into the show. We'll continue to try to do it because I was really looking forward to having him talk about the upcoming event this Saturday at the South location at the Pavilion, as well as what he plans for the bourbon launch of the Iron Pig specialty branded bourbon that they have bottled up for us and is bringing up from Kentucky. Well, until I can get Ian on the line, we're going to move on. We're going to go back to Lansing. We're going to talk about the budget. We're going to talk about everything going on there, because there's some other kind of interesting little stories that we need to talk about. Road funding. Remember, that was a big deal. That was something that the Speaker, Matt Hall, wanted to make sure happen, as well as even the Governor, Gretchen Whitmer. Well, MERS News Service sat down with some political pundits and asked some questions. Today, Tuesday, Governor Gretchen Whitmer is expected to sign the fiscal year 2026 budget that has succeeded in completely sucking out all the oxygen in Lansing from March to today. House Speaker Matt Hall blazed a new path in constructing the spending document, starting first with passing a continuation budget. He called it a shutdown prevention plan back on March the 6th, as Senate Democrats dutifully followed the tradition time frame for crafting a budget. They came out with their spending plan in early May. They felt they did their duty. They did what they were supposed to do, because statutorily there was somewhat of a gentleman's agreement that these budgets would always be submitted to the governor for signing before July 1st, before they broke for summer. Well, back in the day, Speaker Hall quickly embraced the governor's longtime goal of finding a more long-term road funding formula. And Matt Hall used that common goal to create a new partnership that ended up stretching out the crafting of the House budget. They didn't come out with theirs until late August. However, in their budget, they made some cuts to the current budget that freed up $3.4 billion in actually new road funding without raising taxes. Well, after a couple more weeks of posturing that took place between the Speaker, Matt Hall, and Senate Majority Leader Winnie Brinks, things started to get serious as common ground was found. But the agreement took so long to reach Hall's shutdown prevention plan, which ended up being proven to be actually needed. Two late nights and a lot of questions about the documents came later. Well, the bottom line, the governor is expected to sign the budget today, Tuesday, before the continuation budget expires. In the end, it wasn't $3.4 billion. It wasn't $3.1 billion. It was basically almost about half. $1.85 billion absolutely guaranteed to go towards roads and bridges. Even though the Republicans were against any new taxes, there is now going to be a new 24% wholesale tax on marijuana. The budget plan also makes deep cuts to the state's economic development tools and the prevention of the adoption of a Trump-era tax cut for businesses. They're not going to adopt those cuts here in the state of Michigan. Business taxes will stay the same. Well, between midnight and 4:07 a.m. on Wednesday, October 1st, the state government operated without a budget. But the governor didn't overtly call for anything to shut down during those 4 hours and 7 minutes. So it begs to ask the question, did we technically have a government shutdown or not? Well, one of the political pundits they asked, Dennis Muchmore, the former chief of staff of Governor Rick Snyder. His answer was yes. We did have a shutdown. A budget can be passed later, as it was, but that allows the money to be spent retroactively. But in fact, there was a government shutdown for 4 hours and 7 minutes. During those 4 hours, the governor didn't have any authorization to spend anything. So whether the governor talks about it or not, you cannot spend money without an appropriation. When the fiscal year is over, it's over. The money stops. Well, Arnold Weinfeld, the associate director of the Institute for Public Policy, said, technically, I guess you could say there was a shutdown, but it didn't affect anyone. No offices had to close. Most Michiganders slept through it, but I guess technically, yes, there was a government shutdown. Now, former Senator Bill Ballinger of the Ballinger Report tried to explore the logic of the claim that there wasn't a shutdown. Quote, so if the continuation budget hadn't been passed, the legislature, then they would have, rather than about 2 a.m., would have admitted there was a shutdown. But because they did pass the continuation budget, it became the governor overtly calling for a shutdown, which he said, no way, didn't happen. But here's a good question. How could state government operate for a full week with no money when the Constitution of the state of Michigan explicitly requires revenue must be provided? Can we believe that Governor Gretchen Whitmer could decree the government could operate indefinitely without any money? Well, instead of just 4 hours, what about 6 months? What about a year? This is somewhat similar to the Trump-like expansion of executive power, which probably won't stand up in court. Fact is, both the governor and the legislature were in denial for too long. What they should have done was pass the continuation budget weeks ago. Well, finally, Robert Schneider, senior research associate at the Citizens for Research Council, said, practically speaking, there was not a shutdown. It appears that the administration determined that it would keep incurring the costs of keeping state government fully operational, despite the fact that they had no legal authority to pay the bills until the temporary budget was put in place. However, once they approved the continuation budget, that prevented the actual shutdown. I'm not going to agree with that. There was a shutdown. They just scurried and passed the continuation budget and therefore kept the funding in place. Now, next question. Which player in the process came out as the biggest winner? Well, Bill Ballinger said no player in this ugly scenario came out as a winner. But I'd say that House Speaker Matt Hall and his majority Republicans came closest to getting what they wanted other than the other actors. If you look at the past process and only look at the final product, I would say the Republicans won. Snyder, the other consultant, said both the governor and the House got something they wanted. The governor back in February said she wanted more road funding to be supported by a combination of new tax increases and reasonable budget cuts. Then we had negative revenue estimates coming out in May, which anticipated revenue declines due to the One Big Beautiful Bill Act coming from Washington, D.C. on July 1st. Both of those added to road funding challenges. So I think it's fair to say that reasonable budget cuts are close to where we landed under these circumstances. The only new tax that was added was the 24% marijuana wholesale tax. But in terms of the budget recipients, the biggest winners are going to be clearly the road construction industry and local road agencies. They didn't get the $3 billion something they wanted, but a lot of additional ongoing road revenue is in this agreement. Bottom line, the lobbyists for road builders didn't get the $3 to $4 billion they were hoping to score, but getting close to $2 billion is still going to keep a lot of contracts in place. Much more, consultants said, the Road Building Association is going to keep its members happy and keep the jobs here in Michigan. The last consultant, Weinfeld, said he doesn't feel any particular side as being a big winner at all. They all got something that they wanted out of this budget. The only thing confusing for him is, why did it take so long? At the end of the day, you knew this is where they're going to end up, so why didn't they get to it quicker? Yeah, I can agree with that. So the bottom line, Ballinger put it this way. They did the deal, which was cobbled together, and they ended up doing things that basically they showed they could do earlier in the year. Remember the tipped wage debate? Well, to avoid that problem, they came together and compromised. What happened last week basically was a repeat of what they did earlier in the year. The only thing that's going to increase will be the public's cynicism and low opinion of state legislators, the governor, and politicians in general, end quote, said Ballinger. And that's my question. They knew they were going to get here. Why didn't they do it earlier? Why did they have to wait until the stroke of midnight on September 30th? They have to scramble to do something because of the Constitution that required it. I guess you wait until the government shut down in order to put pressure on the other side, which basically is exactly what they did. Final half hour of hour number two, bottom of the hour news break. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source, Michigan.